This is the third Sunday in Advent. And today we celebrate joy. We started out in Advent. It's kind of fascinating to me. I love the Advent season. And it really just talks about the characteristic of Jesus Christ. And we started out a couple weeks back with hope. The expectation of the coming Savior and the hope that He was to us. And then the second week was peace. Peace, wherever that is. And then joy today. And we're going to talk about the joy of Jesus Christ. And I got to say that I think we all need that. And sometimes we just don't know where to find it. Or we don't know how to find it. These last 2 weeks have been very busy for this church family and for a lot of you. As we celebrated Bill Crane's homegoing and his journey of his life. And then yesterday with the passing of an old member here, Terry Bruce, yesterday we celebrated his life as well. And it's just been a busy couple of weeks. It's been emotionally draining for a lot of you. But I thought, in both Bill's funeral and Terry Bruce's funeral, even though we mourn their loss and it impacts us, as believers in Christ, we do not mourn as non-believers, those who have no hope. Amen? As believers in Christ, when we mourn, it's a different type of mourning, but we don't mourn the same way as those who have no hope and who do not know Christ. I was reminded just in the last couple of weeks with things that the families are going through and that this church body is going through of Job. And you don't have to turn in your Bible yet. And I challenged you guys a couple of weeks ago to bring your Bible. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 2. Head that way. And as you're heading there, listen carefully about Job. Job had a lot of stuff. I assure you, stuff didn't have him, though. Amen? He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and some other animals, oxen. And you can imagine a ton of servants along with those. And in the very first chapter of Job, we read about Job, and servants come running in, and they say, one by one, you've lost this, you've lost this. And he lost his 7 sons, 3 daughters, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and he lost servants. As one was telling him, another came in to tell him about the next tragedy and about the next tragedy. Ten children, 10,000 animals. That's a lot of stuff to lose in one setting. And Job, if you remember in chapter 1, it says he tore his robe, he shaved his head. But it's the next thing he did after tearing his robe and shaving his head. And it says, and he worshipped. And that's probably not our response to tragedy, to sadness, to loss. But Job worshipped. In the midst of all that, he worshipped. And he said, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He understood that the Lord gives us, and the Lord takes from us. And in the midst of all that giving and taking, blessed be the name of the Lord. He gets it. And it says, in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Man, what a great testimony and a great witness. As he found out about loss and tragedy, he continued to worship the Lord. That's a tough witness to follow, isn't it? Well, Advent season comes, and again, we have hope and peace and joy. And then the next week is love. Those are so characteristic of Jesus Christ. And I love it. In Luke chapter 2, that's traditionally where we read the Christmas story. And I went down last week to visit Paul, our good friend Paul Hoke. And he's down in Norman in the VA center. And I went to visit him again. And I took my Bible and he was on the phone talking to someone. He said, "Well, my friend's back here." And I'm assuming the person on the other end said, "What's he going to do?" Because Paul responded, "I'm guessing he's going to read some scripture because he's got his Bible in his hand." And I usually just go visit Paul and I have a small pocket thing that I take down there and I pray over Paul and we just talk. But I brought the Bible this time. And he hung up. He said, "Call me back after a while." And I said, "Paul, do you mind if I read you the Christmas story today?" He said, "I think I'd love that." And I began in chapter 2 and I read him the Christmas story. And I said, "Paul, I read that to you because that's our hope. It's the hope that we have in Jesus Christ and God sending His Son." Remember a couple weeks ago I said, God gave His Son. He gave us that gift knowing what we were going to do with that gift He gave us. I hope none of you in here have experienced this or done it, but I'm sure you've heard stories. You give the child a gift. "Here you go, Merry Christmas." And go, that's it. Well, God did that with His Son. He gave us that gift. And He says, "I know you need it. I know you can use it. And I know some of you are going to look at it. And that's what you're going to do with it." But He still gave us that gift. Now, where in the midst of that can we find hope? And where in the midst of that can we find joy and peace and love? Everywhere. Because He gave it anyway. He didn't come to us and say, "Donna, what could you use? Oh, okay, I'll give that to you." No, He gave you a gift. And you may have said, "But I don't need that I know of." And God's thinking, "You do, you just don't know it yet. And I'll reveal that in my timing." So Luke chapter 2, let's turn, we're going to move just a little ahead to verse 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. I was surprised, by the way, as you're going there, to find out on my Christmas list to my daughter that my wife had put, "Adam wants a paper shredder." Likewise, I'm unaware that I need that, but maybe God has revealed that somewhere down the line I need that. Maybe He needs me to get that gift so I can generously give it to my wife to utilize. I don't know. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.'" Right there. He gave that gift so that every one of us can receive it. And every one of us can have it. And they brought that proclamation. Tidings of great joy. Verse 11. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The angel has brought the news. And the news is there's great joy coming. By the way, it's in a little baby. And they wanted so much more. They wanted Him to be born in some great castle, I guess, or some great monument or something other than a manger. Man, a Savior. Our Savior is born. And they're telling them that. And today, over 2,000 years later, we are still telling others about that. Your Savior was born 2,000 years ago. And that's a message we have to take to our friends and our neighbors and our loved ones. Christ came to give us joy even in our suffering. If you would flip over to 1 Peter, it's way back in the back of your Bible. 1 Peter chapter 4. Christ came to bring us joy and to show us joy in the midst of our suffering. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. And we read this not too long ago, but it's important to understand how vital this scripture is to where we are in life. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. And it says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you." Well, let's just stop right there. It's not just a trial, but it's a fiery trial. This is going to be a tough battle. This will be a hard one for us to endure. But he says, don't think as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Man, rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering. That suffering you're going through, that's no big deal, by the way. Partaking Christ's suffering. When His glory is revealed to you, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. For if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, He is blasphemed. But on your part, He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, thief, and evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. And then verse 16. Listen carefully to verse 16. If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. And I'm going to repeat that one more time in case you were looking through your Bible at some other scripture. If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Whatever you are going through, whatever you have been through, glorify God in that matter. We've got to understand when we come together and we sing these songs, we're not going to a high school chorus or choir program. They're for us to sing and connect with Jesus Christ. Well, it's hard to connect with Jesus Christ with all that banging and clanging and all that stuff going on. Find a way. They've been doing it for over 2,000 years through song and through music. Amen, says our worship leader. Thank you. Okay? It's important. Whatever we're going through, whatever we've been through, this could be from birth. I have no idea who is adopted in this church, but I know we're all adopted sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. I have no idea what circumstances you came into this world. And you may still be dragging that around and be suffering from that. I don't know. You may have drugged somebody into this world in a different circumstance than you envisioned or that your parents envisioned or whatever. I don't know. But this says it doesn't matter. This says, it doesn't say get over it. It doesn't say get over it. It says get through it and glorify me. For there is a testimony in this. I may not know it just yet. But this may be for somebody else. And God has not revealed it to you yet. If we can't see joy in the things that we go through, I think we're looking at it from a different perspective. And quite possibly the wrong perspective. We're looking at it from a self perspective, and this is a great time of year to have fun, be with the family, have fellowship, celebrate the birth of our Son Jesus Christ, and we get caught up in our self perspective. We're not looking at things as a Christ follower. We're not looking at things as an imitator of Jesus Christ. We're not looking at things as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. We're not doing things in a Christ-like manner. We're not doing things as a witness for Christ. And we're not doing it from the right perspective. And we're not doing it from the right attitude. You see, some of us will withhold from the church what God calls us to give. But we're going to give generously to the retailers out there. And we will. It's just the facts. Giving is down in this church. Attendance is up. You tell me. Somebody's withholding somewhere. We're looking at things from the wrong perspective. We can continue to buy our cigarettes. We can continue to buy our booze. We can continue to buy our stuff. We can continue to buy our vehicles. We can continue to take trips. We can continue to go to the casino. We can do all these things. But I'll be doggone if I'm going to give to Jesus Christ because I spent my money already. And I don't have enough left over for the work of the church. And sometimes the work of the church is replacing these ding-dang light bulbs that keep burning out. Sometimes the work of the church is replacing the whole lighting system as another one went out last week. Sometimes it's just about upgrading things so that we can look nice. And I'm not talking about putting gold statues up here. I'm just talking about upgrading and updating. But we're withholding things. And we're withholding things from God. You may be withholding it from prayer, faith, world outreach, but ultimately you are withholding it from God. And that's between you and God. In the midst of our suffering, we have to discover the joy of serving one another. We have to understand the joy of loving one another, of fellowship with one another. I dare say some of these people probably couldn't get out of bed at the crack of noon. We start at 10:30. Uh-oh, Adam's getting off on a whole other thing. We start at 10:30, people. It just comes so early for some. I don't know how you make it at your job. I'm just saying, guys. This is a house of the Lord, and God calls us to fellowship with one another, and He calls us to be a place of order. And when we don't do those things, we dishonor God. Don't worry about me. I'm going to be just fine. But we dishonor God when we do those things. Have mercy. I better move on. Whew. Christ came to give us joy. John 15. But Christ also came and He went in the temple and He told His people, what you're doing is not right. When people went and sold their land and came to Jesus, or came and said, here's how much I got for it, they said, you're withholding some. And He breathed His last breath. And they went out and buried Him. And as they came back, the wife came in. She said the same thing. We only got this much. Yeah, your husband said the same thing. They just buried him. See you guys. Go bury her. And she died. You're withholding things from Jesus Christ. And in this church, our desire is to get people to be Christ followers, to be obedient to Jesus Christ. It's not enough. I've told you guys this before. It's not enough just to show up. We're going to look at that in just a minute here. Let's turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Wow, my heading says, love and joy perfected. Chapter 15, verse 9. Says, as a father loved me, I also have loved you. Okay, so Jesus Christ is showing us His love right there. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in His love. And I'm sorry, as I skipped that last part of verse 9, it says, abide in my love. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. You see, He's giving us joy that my joy will remain in you and that your joy may be full. And the problem is Jesus Christ gives us His joy. I'm trying to think of a nice way to put it. And we throw it away. We do not remain full of His joy because we allow so many distractions throughout the week to suck that joy out of us, to drain us, to bleed us, to rob us. But we allow that ourselves. We allow that because we don't want to look past it. As we talked at Bill's funeral and in Bible study a couple weeks ago, when Stephen was stoned, he had to look past death and he had to see what lies ahead. And it's so hard, and young people, it's hard for you guys to grasp that. Well, I'm only 13, 14, 15, 16, whatever, 18. I got my whole life ahead of you. Don't count on it. You never know what tomorrow brings. And at your young age, you should live life accordingly. In case, because nobody knows the time. As parents, we hope and pray for our children to live a long life, but we never know the time. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Focus on that, people. He's already given us His joy. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. To find true joy, we must abide in Him. That's what that's all about. We must remain and spend time with Him. Some of us are so drained from spending time with everybody else and everything else and everywhere else. We can't make time for church. We're exhausted. We've run ourselves into the ground. I don't mind if you guys tell me I won't be there. I'm really tired. But I'd rather you not, because I don't want to hear it. I will show up here looking like a dog drug me in off the streets before I say I'm tired and I won't be here. So I'd rather you not let me know personally, and I'm just getting some personal stuff out of the way here, that you're tired and won't quite make it to church, because I don't care. Okay, I care about you. And that's why I really wanted to just say, well, why don't you drag your rear end out of bed and get in church, people? This is where it's at. And I'm just being honest. Jesus Christ calls us to fellowship with one another. He calls us to fellowship. And yet we just pick and choose and come and go as we please. And then we wonder, God, where is that joy that you promised me? And God said, where is that you that you promised to be in that seat? Well, we can just worship God wherever we are. Yeah, I know that. We've been through this, church. But He calls us to fellowship with one another. And we had fellowship last night, and some of you were very hungry for that. And some of you gave that fellowship, and some of you needed it and looked for it. And that was important time. So it can happen outside of church. Absolutely. But I believe accountability starts here in church. We're going to flip over a page or two to John chapter 16. I want and desire as a church for us to understand this is what God is calling us to do. And He wants our church to mature. He wants us to grow. And I'm not talking about growing in numbers, but He wants us to grow spiritually. And we can't do that when we're here one Sunday out of the month, or one Sunday out of 3 or 4 months, or once or twice a year. That is membership, that's for sure. John chapter 16, verse 16. And it says, a little while you will no longer see me, and again a little while you will see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples, they start talking about themselves, and Jesus knew this, and he said, a little while you will not see me, and again a little while you will see me, because I go to the Father. And they didn't understand that. What is this that he says, a little while? We do not know what he is saying. So Jesus knew that they were asking these things and asked about it. And he said, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said, a little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, you will see me? Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. Your sorrow will be turned into joy. As I said in the very beginning, we mourn the loss of Bill and Terry, but we do not mourn in the same manner as those who have no hope. And then in the midst of these last 2 weeks, we had a wonderful birth we had up on the screen of Moment. Chris and Carissa's baby. And what a beautiful little child that is. And in the midst of this, God continues to bring life into this world. And He continues to take life out of this world. But as the pastor said at Terry's funeral yesterday, I want to dispel this horrible rumor going around that Terry Bruce is dead, because he is very much alive. And he's alive in Christ Jesus. And so are we. And that's where our joy comes from. Understanding that we are alive in Jesus Christ no matter what we go through. When they were in the jail in the middle of the night, they'd been beaten. They were thrown in jail. The earthquake came. The doors bust open. And what do? They stand there singing. Whoa, don't kill yourself. We're still here. We didn't leave. They knew where their source of joy came from. Verse 21, a woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Jesus Christ has given us joy. It's up to us to keep it full by not throwing it away, discarding it, burying it, and getting rid of it. In closing today, I want you to listen very carefully to Psalm 16. Psalm 16 says, preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. Anything we have apart from Jesus Christ is nothing. Our possessions, our home, our cars, our wife, our husband, our spouse, our family, everything we have that's apart from Jesus Christ is nothing. And here the psalmist gets it. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. Their drink offering of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are my inheritance and my portion and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. We want to say at my right hand, usually probably about where the wallet is or something. We try and find our pleasures. But at His right hand, our pleasures are forevermore. In your presence is fullness of joy. If you are looking for joy in this holiday season or any time, that joy comes from your presence with Jesus Christ. It comes from you abiding in love with Jesus Christ. We have to find our joy. You see, we have to share that with other people. And it's hard to share joy that we don't have in our life with other people, because all we're doing is sharing that rain cloud. All we're doing is sharing that darkness we walk around in. And as Christ followers, Jesus Christ said, you're not to be walking in that darkness. A great light has come upon the land. A great light has come unto the people. And that light is Jesus Christ. And He is our hope. He is our peace. He is our joy. And He is our love. God is love. And we can't play church and do all these other areas and forget joy and not walk around in joy. Likewise, we can't have these things without one another. I believe they coexist. Church, understand, when I get frustrated about things, I'm just saying Christ calls us to these things. It doesn't matter what Adam Dilly wants you to do. Christ calls us into fellowship with one another, into regular attendance with one another. Christ calls us to give back to Him a portion of what He's given to us. That's what the Bible says. And Christ also tells us there's a point in time where we should have grown in maturity in Christ. We've got to quit dabbling in this stuff called religion. We've got to quit dabbling in this stuff called church. This church exercised a lot of things in the last 2 weeks that were fantastic to see. And we took all these different parts, young and old, and work together to reach out to others. And we did it willingly and gladly. And that's great. Now, when there's not a need like that, God says you still need to be ready. You still have to be willing and able when you can. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, today we just thank You for being our source of joy. Lord, the gift of Jesus Christ given to all, when they came with glad tidings and proclaimed that a light was coming into the darkness, proclaimed that joy was coming for all. Knowing what we would do with that gift. Heavenly Father, for those today that are searching for joy, that are missing joy, that have given up joy, that don't know where to find it or how to find it, Lord. Lord, I ask that you reveal yourself to them. Your word says we are to abide in you, and we will be full of joy when we abide in you and spend time with you. Well, we're praying today, if you need to find joy in your life, if you're missing that joy, would you just raise your hand ever so slightly so I can see and pray for you? If you are looking for that joy this holiday season. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Guys, this isn't about missing some big thing. It's just about missing joy. It's about missing joy in your everyday life. It's about not being able to be happy. Not a temporary happiness, but a joy that only comes from the Lord. Thank you. Heavenly Father, for those that raise their hand, we thank you for that. Lord, we ask you to reveal yourself to them. Lord, help draw people into fellowship. Help draw people into this church body. Help them understand what that means to their spiritual life, and help them grow in your word. Lord, help us all to be hungry for your word. Lord, for those that are suffering right now, especially at this time of year in this holiday season, Lord, would you reveal yourself to them as well? Lord, fill them right now with that hope, with that peace, with the joy, with the love that only you can provide. In Jesus' name, amen.